Go back to history. Christmas Eve, 1937. After Holy Communion, the Mother of God gave me to experience the anxious concern she had in her heart because of the Son of God. But this anxiety was permeated with such frequency of abandonment to the will of God that I should call it rather a delight than an anxiety. I understood how my soul ought to accept the will of God in all things. It is a pity I cannot write this the way I experienced it. My soul was plunged in deep recollection in all day long. Nothing could tear me away from this recollection, neither duties nor the business I had with lay people. Before supper, I went into the chapel for a moment to break the wafer of spiritually with those beloved persons, so dear to my heart, though far away. First, I steeped myself in profound prayer and asked the Lord for graces for them all as a group, and then for each one individually. Jesus gave me to know how much this pleased him, and my soul was filled with even greater joy to see that God loves in a special way those whom we love. After I had gone into the refectory during the reading, my whole being found itself plunged in God. Interiorly, I saw God looking at us with great pleasure. I remained alone with the Heavenly Father. At that moment, I had a deeper knowledge of the three divine persons whom we shall contemplate for all eternity, and after millions of years shall discover that we have just barely begun our contemplation. Oh, how great is the mercy of God, who allows men to participate in such a high degree in his divine happiness. At the same time, with great pain, pierces my heart that so many souls have sponged this happiness. When we began to share the wafer, a sincere and mutual love reigned among us. Mother Superior expressed this wish to me: "Sister, the works of God proceed slowly, so do not be in a hurry." In general, the sister sincerely wished me great love, which is that which I desire above all. I saw that these wishes truly came from their hearts, except for one sister, who had a concealed malice in her wishes. Although this did not cause me much pain, for my soul was pervaded by God, yet this enlightened me as to why God communicates to so little with a soul of this kind. And I learned that such a soul is always seeking itself, even in holy things. Oh, how good the Lord is in not letting me go astray. I know that He will guard me, even jealously, only as long as I remain little, because it is with such that the great Lord likes to commune. As to proud souls, He watches them from afar and opposes them. Humility. Silence. That God works. Although I wanted to keep vigil for some time before the midnight mass, I could not do so. I fell asleep at once, and I was even feeling very weak. But when they rang the bells for midnight mass, I jumped to my feet at once and dressed, though with great difficulty, because I felt sick again and again. When I arrived at midnight mass, from the very beginning, I steeped myself in deep recollection, during which time I saw the stable of Bethlehem filled with great radiance. The Blessed Virgin, all lost in deepest of love, was wrapping Jesus in swaddling clothes, but Saint Joseph was still asleep. Only after the Mother of God put Jesus in a manger did the light of God awaken Joseph, who also prayed. But after a while, I was left alone with the infant Jesus, who stretched out his little hands to me and understood that I was to take him in my arms. Jesus pressed his head against my heart and gave me to know by his profound gaze how good he found it to be next to my heart. Restful. At that moment, Jesus disappeared and the bell was ringing for Holy Communion. Holy Master, she was always in ecstasy. Only communion time then he was waking. My soul was languishing with joy, but toward the end of the Mass, I felt so weak that I had to leave the chapel and go to my cell, as I felt unable to take part in the community tea. But my joy throughout the whole Christmas season was immense, because my soul was unceasingly united with the Lord. I've come to know that every soul would like to have divine comforts, but is by no means willing to forsake human comforts, whereas these two things cannot be reconciled. When you want it for God, then you have to lose your human things. You cannot keep two things together, human love and then divine love. One man cannot serve two masters. During the Christmas season, I've sensed that certain souls have been praying for me. I rejoice that such spiritual union and knowledge exists already here on earth. O my Jesus, praise be to you for all this. In the greatest torments of soul, I'm always alone. But no, not alone, for I am with you, Jesus. But here I'm speaking about other people. None of them understands my heart, but this does not surprise me anymore, whereas I used to be surprised when my intentions were condemned and wrongly interpreted. No, this does not surprise me now at all. People do not know how to perceive the soul. They see the body and they judge according to the body. But as distant as heaven is from earth, so distant are God's thoughts from our thoughts. I myself have experienced that quite often it happens that the Lord said to me, "It should be of no concern to you how anyone else acts. You are to be my living reflection through love and mercy." I answered, "Lord, but they often take advantage of my goodness." Yeah, many times you say, "Well, what do good to her? She take advantage of me." Jesus says, "That makes no difference, my daughter. That is no concern of yours. As for you, be always merciful towards other people, and especially towards sinners. You just do your part. Don't care about what other people are treating you or take advantage of you." Jesus says, "Mind your own business. You just love." The same way Jesus talked to Peter, no? He says, "John, what about John? Mind your own business. You just follow me." You know, exactly the same. The word of Jesus. "Oh, how painful it is to me," to Jesus, "that souls so seldom unite themselves to me in Holy Communion." Listen, Jesus is complaining. How painful it is to me that so seldom unite themselves to me in holy communion. I wait for souls and they are indifferent towards me. I love them tenderly and sincerely and they distrust me. I want to lavish my graces on them and they do not want to accept them. They treat me as a dead object, whereas my heart is full of love and mercy. In order that you may know at least some of my pain, imagine the most tender of mothers who has great love for her children, while those children spurn her love. Consider her pain. No one is in a position to console her. This is but a feeble image and likeness of my love. So most of you being a mother, no? You know how it's feeling as a mother when the child is not listening, go astray. You're hurt. And nobody understands. And this Jesus, this part of, this is kind of, you know, you can experience, but it's much more serious, the feeling of Jesus. People taking him as a dead object. You can imagine how hurt he is. Right, speak of my mercy. Tell souls where they are to look for solace. That is, in the tribunal of mercy, the sacrament of reconciliation. There, the greatest miracles take place and are instantly repeated. To avail oneself to this miracle, it is not necessary to go on a great pilgrimage or to carry out some external ceremony. It suffices to come with faith to the feet of my representative and to reveal to him one's mystery, and the miracle of divine mercy will be fully demonstrated. The confession is Jesus himself to show his mercy. You don't have to do many things. You have to go to long, long, far, far away for pilgrimage. Confession is Jesus there, and he share with you the grace. Were a soul like a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint, there would be no hope of restoration and everything would already be lost. It's not so with God. Might be for you, might be for some, no hope. No, always hope for Jesus, for God. The miracle of divine mercy restores that soul in full. Oh, how miserable are those who do not take advantage of the miracle of God's mercy. You will call out in vain, but it will be too late. So Jesus really calling the divine mercy, you know. Just trust, so much distress among human beings. Now, 1938, I think the end of the life, huh? Isn't it? 1938, the year 1938, the 1st of January. Welcome to you, new year, in the course of which my perfection will be accomplished. Thank you in advance, O Lord, for everything your goodness will send me. Thank you for the cup of suffering from which I shall daily drink. Do not diminish its bitterness, O Lord, but strengthen my lips that while drinking of this bitterness, they may know how to smile for love of you, my Master. I thank you for your countless comfort and graces that flow down upon me each day like the morning dew, silently, imperceptibly, which no curious eye may notice, and which are known only to you and me, O Lord. For all this, I thank you as of today, because at the moment when you hand me the cup, my heart may not be capable of giving thanks. So today I submit myself completely and with loving consent to your holy will, O Lord, and to your most wise decrees, which are always full of clemency and mercy for me, though at times I can neither understand nor fathom them. O my Master, I surrender myself completely to you, who are the rudder of my soul. Steer yourself according to your divine wishes. I enclose myself in your most compassionate heart, which is a sea of indomitable mercy. I'm ending the old year with suffering and beginning the new one with suffering as well. 2 days before the new year, I had to go to bed. I was feeling very sad, very bad, and a violent cough was weakening me. And together with this, a constant pain in my intestines and nausea had brought me to the point of exhaustion. Although I could not join in community prayer, I united myself spiritually with the whole community. When the sisters got up at 7 o'clock at night, when the sister got up at 11 o'clock at night to keep vigil and welcome the new year, I had been writhing in my agony since nightfall, and this lasted until midnight. I united my suffering with the prayers of the sisters who are keeping vigil in the chapel and atoning to God for the offenses of sinners. When the clock struck 12, my soul immersed itself more deeply in recollection, and I heard a voice in my soul. Do not fear, my little child. You are not alone. Fight bravely, because my arm is supporting you. Fight for the salvation of souls, exhorting them to trust in my mercy, as that is your task in this life and in the life to come. So also we share part of the vocation to spread the mercy of Jesus. So many people distrust the love of God, first to ourselves. Today is the feast of the new year. I felt so bad in the morning that I barely managed to go to the next cell to receive Holy Communion. I couldn't go to Mass because I felt so sick, and I made my Thanksgiving in bed too. I wanted to so much to go to Mass and then to confession to Father Andres. But I felt so bad that I could not go neither to Mass nor to confession. And because of this, my soul suffered a great deal. After breakfast, the sister infirmarian, Sister Chrysostom, came along and asked, "Sister, why didn't you go to Mass?" Kind of, maybe shouting, why? Answered that I couldn't. She shook her head disdainfully and said, "Such a great feast day, sister, and you don't even go to Mass?" And she left my cell. I had been in bed for 2 days, breathing in pain, breathing this pain of the joints, in pain. And she couldn't visit me. Infirmarian, assistant, despite her, because she didn't go to Mass. And when she did come on the third day, she did not even ask if I were able to get up, but asked irritably why I hadn't got up for Mass. Important for her is to go to Mass. Yes, true, but she couldn't. At times, maybe we have to think we're going to judge people. Why don't you do these good things? Why don't you go to Mass? Why don't you come to prayer? Why don't you come to chapel earlier? You may ask people, why don't you do this holy things? Maybe no, she was so weak, and then we don't see this. We see that, why don't you go to Mass for 3 days? The last word also, why don't you go to Mass? For her, for that infirmary sister, that is a big sinner because she didn't go to Mass. Oh, there's how much this is a mirror for us. It's seeing us, not the others. When I was alone, I tried to get up, but I was seized again with sickness, and so I stayed in bed with a calm conscience. Yet my heart had plenty to offer the Lord, joining itself spiritually to Him during the second Mass. After the second Mass, Sister Infirmarian returned to me, but this time in a capacity as an infirmarian and with a thermometer. After 3 days, my goodness. But no fear, no fever, although I was seriously ill and unable to rise. So there was another sermon to tell me that I should not capitulate to illness. I answered her that I knew that here one was regarded as seriously ill only when one was in one's last agony. However, knowing that she was about to give me a lecture, I replied that at the present time, I was in no need of being incited to great zeal. And once again, I remained alone in my cell. She stopped her to keep the preaching. The sisters are always, not this sister, but my, they like to teach people. My heart was crushed with sorrow, and bitterness flooded my soul, and repeated these words, "Welcome, New Year, welcome, cup of bitterness. My Jesus, my heart is eager for you, and yet the gravity of my illness prevents me from participating physically in the community prayers, and I'm suspected of being lazy. Jesus, my sufferings are becoming greater." After dinner, Mother Superior looked in for a moment, but she left very soon. I intended to ask to have Father Andres come to my cell to hear my confession, but I restrained myself from making the request for two reasons. First, not to give occasions for murmuring as had happened above in respect to Holy Mass. And secondly, because I would not even be able to make the confession, since I felt I would burst into tears like a little child. A while later, one of the sisters came along and again reproved me. "There is some milk with butter in the oven, sister. Why don't you drink it?" I answered that there was no one to bring it to me. You see, these are last days of agony. So we have to thank the Lord that we have a good sister to teach us so many things. You complain so many things through your day, eh? People are shouting to you, pointing at you, and no regret, no grateful attitude, and still you, why you are so lazy, might be so painful. Why don't you do that and do this and do that? The same. So sinner. Be joyful. That's very important. Don't lose peace. This